Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text number 38. Is that what's on the board?
38,
39. Are they both on the board? Grihastasya kriya tyaga vrata tyaga vato api tapasina. Actually, when we're reading these words, they're in the, what is it called? The nominative case. In the translation, in the verses, well, in the word for word, they're in the nominative case, and in the verse itself, they're inflected. So we usually read just the nominative case first. Grama, seva, bhiksho, indra. Indriya, Lolata, Krihastasya Kriya Tyago, Rata Tyago Vatorapi, Tapasvino Grama Seva, Bhikshor Indra Lolata, Ashrama pasadayete kalvashrama vidambana deva maya vimudamstan upek shetanu kampaya grihastasya. For a person situated in householder life, kriya tyaga. To give up the duty of a householder. Rata tyaga. To give up vows and austerity. Vato. For a brahmachari. Api. Also. Tapasvina. For a vanaprastha. One who has adopted a life of austerities. Grama seva, to live in a village and serve the people therein. Bhiksho, for a sannyasi, who live by begging alms. Indriya alolata, addicted to sense enjoyment. Ashrama, of the spiritual orders of life. Upasada, the most abominable. He, indeed, ate all these. Kalu, indeed, ashrama vidambana, imitating and therefore cheating the different spiritual orders. Deva maya vimudan, who are bewildered by the external energy of the Supreme Lord. Tan them. Upekshita. One should reject and not accept as genuine. Anukampaya. Or by compassion. Teach them real life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is abominable for a person living in the grihastha ashram to give up the regular principles, for a brahmachari not to follow the brahmachari vows while living under the care of the guru, for a vanaprastha to live in the village and engage in so-called social activities, or for a sannyasi to be addicted to sense gratification. One who acts in this way is to be considered the lowest renegade. Such a pretender is bewildered by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should either reject him from any position, or taking compassion upon him, teach him, if possible, to resume his original position. Please repeat. It is abominable. For a person living in the Grihastha ashram to give up the regular principles, for a brahmachari not to follow the brahmachari vows while living under the care of the guru, for a vanaprastha to live in the village and engage in so-called social activities, or for a sannyasi to be addicted to sense gratification. One who acts in this way is to be considered the lowest renegade. Such a pretender is bewildered by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one should either reject him from any position or taking compassion upon him, teach him, if possible, to resume his original position. Proof what? We have repeatedly stressed that human culture does not begin unless one takes to the principles of vana ashram dharma. Although grihastha life is a concession for the enjoyment of sex, one cannot enjoy sex without following the rules and regulations of householder life. Furthermore, as already instructed, a brahmachari must live under the care of the guru. Brahmachari guru kule vasandanto guror hitam. If a brahmachari does not live under the care of the guru, if a vanaprastha engages in ordinary activities, or if a sannyasi is greedy and eats meat, eggs, and all kinds of nonsense for the satisfaction of his tongue, he is a cheater and should immediately be rejected as unimportant. Such person should be shown compassion, and if one has sufficient strength, one should teach them to stop them from following the wrong path in life, otherwise one should reject them and pay them no attention. So the verse again. Grihastasya kriyatyago vratatyago vatorapi tapasino grama seva vibhikshu indriya lolota ashrama parasa pasadayete kalava shrama vidambana deva maya vimudamstan upekshaita nukampaya. It is abominable for a person living in the grihastha ashram to give up the regular principles, for brahmachari not to follow the brahmachari vows while living under the care of the guru, for a vanaprastha to live in the village and engage in so-called social activities, or for a sannyasi to be addicted to sense gratification. One who acts in this way is to be considered the lowest renegade. Such a pretender is bewildered by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one should either reject him from any position, or taking compassion upon him, teach him, if possible, to resume his original position. Mom Vishnu Bhadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Bhacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadhyaya De Siddharane. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna repeats two verses twice. One of them is Shreyan Svadhamo Viguna Paradharma Sunustitat Sudamaniyatam Shayak Paradharmo Bayavaha. Shreyan means better. Swadhamo Viguna. So it's better to follow one's prescribed duties, even if they're unsuccessful, than to adopt someone else's prescribed duties. Prescribed duties, according to one's nature, even if they're unsuccessful, should not be given up, Krishna says. So that means prescribed duties according to the vana and ashram. We've been told from the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, dharma priyojita kaitavotra paramo nimatsaranam satam vedya vastavam atra shivadam tapo tapatralamulanam. That the Srimad Bhagavatam rejects kaitava dharma, or cheating religion. Religion which is meant, or Prabhupada writes, that generally people adopt the ways of religiosity with the hopes for increasing their economic development. If there is a God, then God will be merciful upon us and help us increase our economic development, and therefore we can enjoy more sense gratification. So this is called Kaitava Dharma. But actually, the material world means that the senses are dragging us, and the more we're dragged by the senses, the more we become deeper into the modes of material nature. So one has to have the counteracting force of taking shelter of Krishna. Evambude purambudva samstabhyatmanam atmana jahi shatru mahavaho kamarupam durasadam. That we should know ourselves to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and the intelligence, and therefore we should control the lower self by the higher, and thus by spiritual strength conquer the insatiable enemy known as lust. In other words, if we're actually in consciousness of Krishna, just by the enlightenment and the pleasure that comes from associating with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, then by that energy, the internal energy of Krishna, one becomes purified from tendencies towards sense gratification and any misconceptions that go along with thinking ourselves to be the servants of the senses and the mind. And that's proportion. It's just like if you put an iron into the fire, then the iron gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then eventually it becomes just like the fire. It's not all or nothing. But as much as we sincerely take shelter of Krishna, to that extent we become purified and we get a higher taste, which allows us to become aloof from the lower urges of the senses and the mind. Therefore, how we utilize this body, if we utilize it in Krishna's service, following Krishna's directions, then the result is that we come in contact with Krishna, to the proportion that we follow his directions. And if we forget Krishna, and we simply are aware of the urge of the senses and mind, then we'll be dragged by the senses and mind to, generally, especially in Kali Yuga, to some lower mode of nature. Especially in Kali Yuga, that the tendency is towards unrestricted sense gratification. Prabhupada said in one lecture that still in India, although they're being misled by the modern, this of course Prabhupada said this 30 years ago, although they were being misled by the modern leaders, still they're afraid of not following regular principles of sinful life. They actually have some knowledge of the fact that they're eternal souls. Even the most common person working the fields in the agricultural realm, they have some knowledge of the fact that they're eternal souls and that they're under the laws of karma. Therefore, they're afraid of sinful life, not following the laws of nature. In the modern so-called society, then most people have no idea what the laws of karma are, nor do they know that they're actually souls, and that they will be subjected in the future to the reactions to their present activities. Therefore, they're not at all afraid of sinful life. Matter of fact, they're enthusiastic for it. (Clears throat) that up until the end of life, they're in the categories, Krishna says, chintyam aparayam cha pralayam tamupashitya kama pabhoga paramam etavam iti nischitya asha pasha shuterabhara kama krota parayana ihanti kama bogarta anyayanartha sanchaya. They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement for their anxiety. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means to sense gratification. Illegal means against the laws of nature, killing animals. People, if you beat a dog, they'll come and arrest you. People can't believe you can be so cruel as to hit a dog. But if you slaughter a cow, then you're considered a very, you know, industrialist person. If you can figure out a way of slaughtering more cows quicker, then you're considered to be scientifically advanced. Never. So they think that they pass laws. If you interfere with cow slaughter, you'll be arrested. And if you stop someone from hitting a dog, then you'll be given a medal. So they don't know how the material nature works. They're blind. And therefore, the result is that they don't actually know what's to be done and what's not to be done. They don't know they'll be subjected to the reactions to their present activities, and to such an extent they may not take the human form of life. Otherwise, how can we account for so many lower species of life? The living entities have been here since time immemorial. Obviously, a lot of people, when they get the human form of life, they don't learn. As we can see, the majority of people, they just are not aware in Kali Yuga of the dangers of sinful activities. In any case, the Veda culture is supposed to teach people gradually so that they can become conscious of how the material nature works. It is not that the law of karma is so esoteric that no one will find out what the results of what they're doing are. Of course, if one is continuously performing sinful activities, then one's intelligence gets taken away, and one can equate one's suffering with one's activities. One thinks that the suffering is coming from some accident or for some misfortune, inexplicable misfortune. They don't see the connection between their activities and their suffering. So much so that even people know that if you smoke cigarettes, your health will decrease. You might get cancer or heart attacks or something. Even they, by their own ways of judging things, their so-called science, still people smoke anyhow. Even they know it's going to cause suffering, they don't care. Or maybe they do care, but because they're not connected with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, they have no strength to deny the impulses coming from the senses. So much so that even after an operation, one person had his trachea removed because of throat cancer, and they put a hole in his throat so he could smoke cigarettes, or the hole that they put for his breathing, he was smoking a cigarette through it. So he has lung cancer, they remove his trachea, and he has a hole in his throat and he's smoking cigarettes through it. So this is not uncommon. People, they don't know, even scientifically they find out that what they're doing is detrimental, but because they think that this is the only life and because they don't get the spiritual strength to overcome the urges, therefore they feel they fall victims to whatever the senses demand from them. But the Vanashram system gradually educates one to control the senses. On the lowest level, then one gets the maximum sense gratification, but one has the least amount of awareness. And here it says it begins with brahmachari life. Brahmacharya guru kule vasandanta guru arhitam achavan vasavan nicho guru saurida saurida. Then one has to learn certain principles like becoming a little humble, nichan, brahmacharya, celibacy. So these things are considered to be dangerous nowadays. Students don't go to college or school to learn celibacy. No, they learn biology and chemistry. Biology means what the different varieties of sex life are, and chemistry means the different varieties of drugs and how to mix them together to become as crazy as possible. So this is to, if you go to college and you have a course on brahmachari life, celibacy, not very many people will be interested in taking it. Guru kule vasan danta, to control the senses, to live in the house of the guru, of the spiritual master, learn how to control the senses, gurarhitam, and to live for the benefit of the guru. So these things are considered to be either mythological or outmoded, as if gratifying the senses, this is what life is all about. And therefore, it doesn't really matter the quality of your sense gratification, just as long as you gratify your senses, you're considered to be successful. Never mind, people don't even consider what they're eating, they don't consider what they're drinking, they don't consider what their sex life is, they have no consideration of even how they sleep. Nothing. Just as whatever the senses demand, you do it. Whatever the mind comes up with, and they think they're coming up with the mind, it's their free choice. They don't realize they're simply being manipulated by advertisement. So the most abominable things are being enticed into following, and they become addicted to eating McDonald's hamburgers, for instance. If they knew what they were eating, they would get sick. But because it's nicely packaged and it's advertised, they have some clown dancing around, therefore people think it's very nice. And they get addicted to it because as we follow the modes of nature, then we fall into that mode, and therefore we get a taste for those sense objects in that mode. Person in the mode of higher mode of nature would be not attracted by the sense gratification in the lower nature. Unfortunately, as we go into the lower nature, then Krishna says that if you act in the mode of goodness, then you go upward to the higher planets. And rajasi pralayam gadva, then if you act in the mode of passion, then you have to take birth amongst those working very hard. Muda yonashi jayate. And if you act in the mode of ignorance, then you take birth amongst the animal kingdom. So the beginning of education means to control the senses and celibacy. If one is unrestrained in sense gratification, especially sex life, then it will be impossible to control any of the other senses. People, if they want to be engaging in unrestricted sex life, then they have to eat meat in order to get the energy to perform illicit sex, and then in order to digest the meat, you have to take intoxication. And then all you can do is speculate day and night because you're absorbed in trying to get money to support your meat-eating, illicit sex, and intoxication, which is ever more expensive and unnatural and causing all kinds of problems. So you're always speculating on how to get something for nothing. Therefore, it is essential that there is Prabhupada's stress Gurukul because it's not an option. It's not that someone gets trained up in illicit sex, meeting, gambling, and intoxication, or associates with such persons, and then after 20 years of such association and training, suddenly one decides to become celibate. It's not very common. No, by such training, one becomes addicted to the modern consumerism, where one is more or less a slave to the senses, and one is simply working to pay off bills to the bank instead of having chains on people nowadays. They simply give them a credit card or a mortgage or a home loan or a car loan. And that's better than a chain because the chains are restricting. But if you have all these loans, then you got to work day and night. At least the slaves, they usually have to feed them to get them to work. But with a credit card, the bank doesn't even have to worry about feeding the slaves. Just has to send them a bill every month. They can eat the piece of paper it says sent to them. Therefore, at the very beginning, there has to be some control, the senses, a development of a proper attitude. Not that he's the superior, he's the instructor, let's get rid of him. He knows too much. Whereas Prabhupada said in certain parts of Africa that they have the grandfather, his celebration when he gets a certain age, they take him up to the roof of the building and roll him off the building until he dies. And then they have the feast in the honor of the grandfather and they eat his brains, his grandchildren. Because they think grandfather is so wise, he must have very nice brains. If we eat them, we'll become wise like him. So similarly, in modern society, if someone becomes a leader, then his followers want to devour him. They want to find out, if someone's a teacher, they want to find out all his knowledge so they can take his position, get his job, devour him. The proper attitude is necessary for learning. And what are their learning? Sense and mind control. And then, if one is very good at that learning, if one can learn by hearing, then he can go on for a life of renunciation and dedicate his activities to hearing and chanting about Krishna, to get more and more intimately associated with Krishna through performing activities which are pleasing to Krishna, so that one naturally remembers Krishna and gets his association. Or if not, then one continues to follow activities which are more or less still involved in sense gratification, but are regulated so that one can go on with the hearing and chanting about Krishna and gradually become purified. And the next stage is dana, dhammas, and jagna. That one has to further try to control the senses, regulate one's life. Not that household life, as it says here, is unrestricted sense enjoyment, but one has sex life to produce children, to raise them in God consciousness. One doesn't eat unrestrictedly. One eats food offered to Krishna. And then one gradually learns that sense gratification is not the ultimate, and that the more I control the senses, the more I fix my mind upon Krishna, then the more I become free from the impulses arising from the senses who are actually disturbing me. It's not pleasure, it's not real pleasure to gratify the senses, but it's beginning of happiness, is freedom from the distress of unrestrictedly gratifying them. And then as they gradually become controlled, then as one becomes free from their demands, then one actually feels a sense of peace and lack of being anxiety. So dhamma further is refined from brahmachari life and household life, because brahmachari life, there is out of sight, out of mind, but when one is actually living with the objects of sense gratification, if one can control the senses, even in the midst of allurement, and at the same time fix his consciousness upon Krishna, then one is even stronger in his renunciation. Krishna says, 261, Tani sarvani samyamya, yaste manasa smaran, indriyartam vimudatma mityacharasa uchite. That's not right. Tani sarvani samyamya, yukta sitamatpara vashehi yasyendriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. That one who restrains his senses and fixes his consciousness upon me is known as a man of steady intelligence. So in household life, if one can live peacefully in a house with a wife and children, at the same time cultivate Krishna consciousness, that's even a stronger, bigger step towards renunciation and Krishna consciousness than brahmacharya life, where one is simply being trained in the absence of the objects of the senses. At the same time, one should give in charity to those who are worthy, because that's how society goes on. If one is simply accumulating more and more wealth for sense gratification, then one will forget actually what the wealth is meant to help one become Krishna conscious and help others become Krishna conscious. And sacrifice for Krishna. Without the idea of utilizing everything in Krishna's service, then one will certainly fall into the illusory energy. Then, as one becomes purified by the sense and mind control and the charity and the sacrifice, then one can naturally develop more and more of a taste to hearing and chanting about Krishna. One doesn't need so many different amenities and different arrangements for one's peace, that one can live more simply and dedicate more time to hearing and chanting about Krishna, because the senses and mind don't come up with so many new ideas all the time. Then, in the perfection is that when one is actually fully engaged in Krishna's service, then one actually becomes fearless, he becomes purified, and he actually has some real awareness of how he can depend upon Krishna, and therefore one can take sannyas and fix his mind perfectly in Krishna consciousness by dedicating practically all his energy in hearing and chanting about Krishna. In any case, whatever level one is on, one should follow the system to become purified. The idea is not to put on a show in any of the orders of life that I'm a brahmachari, you know, I have saffron on, and therefore, you know, who wants to come and defy me, my brahmachari life? Who is Rajneesh, he was a brahmachari. And he put an article in the newspapers in India challenging anyone to have him fall down from his brahmachari life. So the most famous prostitute in Bombay took up the challenge. And the next day he wrote an article, the joy of, spiritual joy of sex. He lost the challenge. So not that I'm a brahmachari, you know, I defy anyone, come and see what you can do. No, one has to be serious about being a brahmachari and actually utilize it for investigating who we really are and to try to learn the process of sense mind control, and at the same time cultivate the idea of sacrifice, charity, and austerity. And as well as sacrifice, charity, austerity, and sense and mind control. So it's training, and then if one is very advanced, then one can bypass the next stage. And if he's not, then further training has to be there. But after all, Krishna says, sarva dharma prichaja, mame kam sharanam vraja, ahang tvang sarapapyebhyo, mokshi syami masuchaha. After all, the aim of all this sense and mind control and charity, etc., is somehow or another to help us become Krishna conscious, to do something to please Krishna. In the Vanashram system, one follows Krishna's instructions indirectly, and in Krishna consciousness, we follow them directly. Whatever we do, even in the Vanashram system, we just do to please Krishna. And by such an attitude of service, then Krishna becomes pleased and reveals himself, and we remember him, and we learn how to get his association and enter into the spiritual energy by which the senses become purified, the mind becomes purified, and the disturbance of material existence gradually ceases, and at the same time we can enter into the transcendental platform and eventually stay there and not become disturbed by any kind of illusion arising out of the urges of the senses and mind. And then when the false ego goes away and our actual identity is revealed, then there is, in that state of spiritual happiness, one is no longer attracted at all by materialistic life, and therefore whatever he does in the material world, in any vana and ashram, makes no difference. Because one is not, one simply becomes an instrument for Krishna. In the meantime, one has to be careful to understand what is one's actual position and do what's necessary, especially for us. We don't emphasize so much following the Vanashram system as we emphasize on regulated sadhana bhakti. There are two different types of swadharmas. One is the swadharma according to our psychophysical nature. The other is according to the orders coming down into civil succession. So we take shelter of Prabhupada's instructions coming into civil succession and utilize the opportunity to become actually conscious of Krishna through rendering service to Krishna. Then the result is that when we are in the spiritual energy, then all the different good results of following Vanashram Dharma will automatically be achieved. Or as Krishna says, Vedeshu jagneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam prativyam adyeti tat saram idam viditva yogi param stanu paiti chadyam. Person who follows the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results of, let's see, can't remember all the results. Vedeshu, study the Vedas, jagneshu, performing sacrifice, daneshu, giving in charity, tapasu chaiva, or, oh, this is eighth chapter. Last verse in the eighth chapter. Study of Vedas, performing austere sacrifices, giving charity, or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he obtains all these. At the end, he reaches the supreme eternal abode. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada mentions in relationship to the verse that there's no loss or diminution in devotional service. And Prabhupada said there, devotional service is so pure and perfect that once having begun, one is forcibly dragged to ultimate success. So since Krishna doesn't interfere with our free will, what are the dynamics? How does that work?
Because if one gets a higher taste, then one will naturally become attracted to what makes one happy. So one gets a higher taste by sincere devotional service, then one will naturally seek after that higher taste again. So it's not that Krishna is forcing us, but we become attracted. Just like the magnet, when you have iron fillings, if they're covered by rust, then they won't be attracted by the magnet. But if they become a little purified from the rust, then automatically they go after the magnet. So we become a little purified, then we'll become attracted to Krishna, and then it'll automatically go on. But without that higher taste, without actually doing enough sincere devotional service to merit getting a higher taste, then it's a struggle for some time, for some materialistic desire. And then when Krishna fulfills that materialistic desire, one becomes uninterested in Krishna and goes back to materialistic life again. So one has to go above simply approaching Krishna out of distress or comfort. One has to at least come to the platform of becoming inquisitive, if not really searching after knowledge. Then that's a more secure platform. Therefore Krishna says, Shrayam svadhamo viguna paradharmat sunustitat Shreidamo nindimak shreyak paradharmo bhayavaha. No, that's not right. Gyayak sanis, no. Shreyans gyanam abhyasa gyanam dhanam vishishate. Well, yeah, that one wrong too. Shreyak svadamo. Shreyan dravyamaya jagna gyana jagna parantapa. Sarang karmi kalam partha gyani parisamapite, that the sacrifice of work of knowledge is greater than the sacrifice of work, because after all, son of Kunti, the sacrifice of work culminates in transcendental knowledge. So we have to at least come to the platform of becoming inquisitive Otherwise, if we perform activities without that inquisitiveness to becoming Krishna conscious, without seeking after real awareness of our identity as a Krishna servant, then the sacrifices we make in Krishna consciousness, they don't really bestow any spiritual benefit. Is that clear?
Why does Prabhupada use the word forcibly drag to ultimate success? Prabhupada
says, because spiritual energy is very powerful. Anything else? Yes.
Marsha, I just have a quick question. If the devotee is... Oh, thank you very much. Thank you again for... No, I wanted to ask this. You know, it's so nice to listen to you speak and to see you quoting the literature, Srila Prabhupada's books and teaching the Six Goswamis. And I was wondering if the devotees were interested, would there be some courses that you could recommend? I just heard about some things even that were... could you award college credits also, like Oxford recognized programs that devotees were doing? But even beyond that, I wanted to ask if there was some course material or something online or somewhere we could go for classes, you know, to help us understand and to go more deeply into these teachings.
Well, I just recommend read Prabhupada's books regularly. I mean, it's all in Prabhupada's books. I don't think we just read the books regularly. Then after a while, as we try to remember a little bit of them and try to assimilate what's being said, I think that's the best course. Because everyone has their personal life. There's no one who can give you a lecture or a course which will be as appropriate as one's own personal realizations that come from studying Prabhupada's books and see how they relate to one's life. Everyone has their own personal experiences in life and challenges, and Prabhupada's books, if we read them regularly and try to assimilate them, then they can help us meet our own personal challenges, relying on the Super Soul more and seeing things through his eyes in our own personal life, according to our own personal level of development. Otherwise, everyone who speaks, all they can do is try to figure out what the audience is and then try to relate in general something of Prabhupada's teachings to the audience. But Prabhupada's books can talk to us personally.
For myself, I find that to have an instructor or to be in a group, you know, and like I will read.
Well, that's why we have a class every day. That's what the class is meant for, so that we're living, for instance, in Ayurveda. They advise you to eat fruit and vegetables. And grains which are grown locally. So if we're going to discuss these things amongst the devotees, best to discuss them amongst devotees who are living in the same community, who are meeting the same challenges. It's a more practical way of doing it, how they can actually practically serve under their present circumstances the mission. But it's the whole idea, internet and things like that, I mean, it's just all these colleges and this and that. It's just, you know, because people, they think it's more exciting for a couple of weeks and then they get bored and they don't even... They think, oh, the grass is greener over the other side. But I don't. I think the grass is probably... As long as we're following the principles laid down by Prabhupada, the greenest grass is right in our neighborhood. Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.